Okay, I am here. I was hearing the use of your repeater there. All right. Last week, and just from where we've been, for those that may be joining us for the first time, our scenario has been you're sitting at home, the lights go out, the internet is down, your phones are out, and you have now gone through a number of steps to determine the extent of this, your situational awareness of what's going on around you, how bad this thing is. You finally done all the other things that you can do. You've gone outside, you've driven around, and now you've gotten on the net and you're finding out who's there, and we're proceeding on kind of from that point. All right, so there, I think we maybe mentioned last week there's a thing called an informal net and a formal net. And so what we were at last week would be classified as an informal net. Now this is a formal net. It's scheduled. We have people that are assigned to take control of net control. We have topics. We have discussions. We have things like this. So it is something that's going to happen most every week. But with an informal net, it differs because it just pops up. We've had an emergency, there's communications are down, and so now you're on the radio and you're trying to determine what the heck is going on is really where you are. Also, we discussed that whoever is the first one on the radio is the net control, and I want you to assume that you are the first one that is on the net, and you start asking for information. All right, so as a net control operator, and I realize that we could go into an entire course on this as well, just being a net control, but as a net control, and in this scenario, what are some of the things that you're going to want to be knowing, and this is a little bit of a refresh on what we did last week, what are some of the things that you're going to want to know about the people that you have on your repeater or your frequency that you're transmitting on? So I'd like this to be interactive and we'll discuss it. So what are some of the things that you would ask the people that are checking in on your net? So please call with your FCC call sign.
N7MJF.
MJF, Mike, go ahead.
So a couple things that quickly come to mind is I'm going to want to know their location and what kind of power they're operating on, N7MJF.
Okay, very good. Yes, indeed. You'd like to know their location, and that would be particularly helpful, especially if for a couple of things, I guess, but one, if you're going simplex. So you'd know where they are, what their signal strength is, and that sort of thing. All right, and what kind of power you're saying, and that would, I guess, lead into maybe what kind of equipment they have. So very good. Appreciate that. Somebody else, what other things would you be asking?
AC7QPI.
Jim, go ahead.
Do they have any other means of communication besides the ham radio? AC7QPI, back to net.
Okay, Jim, that's a good one as well. Do they have FRS radio? Do they have GMRS radio? Do they have Meshtastic or Mesh? Do they have any of those types of things that could be utilized for an emergency? All right, so very good, Jim. Anybody else with thoughts, please call. Some of the things that I think we discussed last week would be how long have they been an operator, a ham radio operator? How much experience do they have? What is their physical condition? Are they able to go out and be deployed? What kind of equipment do they have? Do they have portable equipment, mobile equipment? Or are they basically going to be a fixed station? That sort of thing. Why would some of those questions be important, do you think? So please call.
N7MJF.
N7MJF, Mike, go ahead again.
sorry to repeat on this, but if you know if someone's mobile or not, that can give you kind of an idea of how you might assign them a particular role to be like a rover or something like this. N7MJF, back to net control.
Okay, absolutely. You're going to want to know what where they can be assigned. If it's someone that says, look, you know, I'm not able to really get out and walk very far, I can't do that sort of thing, so, you know, I need to be more of a fixed-type station. If you got someone that says, hey, you know, I've got a radio in my vehicle, and I'm able to get out and drive and go somewhere and do whatever. If someone says, I only have an HT, you know, so it's going to give you a lot of information to do that. All right, so now I want to discuss a little bit about when we start transitioning to a formal net. So whether or not you're operating under some type of an emergency response plan or not. So if you are operating under an emergency response plan, what do you think your typical procedure would be from this point on? You've gathered a lot of information. You've got a lot of people that are on the net. You've got names. You've got information, location, all these sorts of things. And now, what do you do? What do you do with all that information you've got if you have an emergency response plan? So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
AI7PGW.
Yes, John, go ahead.
Well, I think at that point, you're going to want to check with the incident commander to find out, so that you can pass this information to them and find out if they want to call an official activation of the plan, KI7PPW.
Okay, you're exactly right. That's exactly what you would do. So you may be in contact and probably would be in contact with the incident commander or his or her designee during this whole time period. You know, things have been going south. You've been defining the situation and the scope of it. Now you're saying to the incident commander, this is the scenario. This is where we are. So where do we proceed from here? And so it is up to that person to make the call because we, as communicators, are communicators. I want to emphasize that. We're not taking on leadership positions. We're not the one calling the shots on this unless your plan indicates that's what you do. But in most instances, we are going to be communicators, and we're providing communication to those that are going to be in charge. All right, so then you would then turn it over to your incident commander to say, this is where we are, this is the information I've got, this is the intel that I've been able to gather, and then they're going to make the call as John indicated. All right, so that one's pretty straightforward, and we'll get back to that in a little bit. But what if there is no plan? What would you do then? There is no plan, and now you've gathered all this information. Where do we go from here? I'd like to get your thoughts on it. N7DRK. N7DRK, go ahead.
Well, if it was me, I would probably set up a meeting time in a day or maybe direct everybody to meet at a specified time the following day to maybe reassess the situation, determine if any action or further action needs to be taken, or it maybe even set up a later time during the same day. It just depends on the circumstances, but I would probably figure out a time to meet up again and be monitoring the radio at that point. So back to you in 7DRK.
And from what I gathered on that, just to make sure that I understood it, when you said get back together again or do a meeting or whatever, I assume that was not getting together in person, but getting back together on the net. Is that what you were referring to, David?
Yes, I'm sorry, I wasn't very clear on that point. That's what I mean. I would figure out a time and, yeah, time to meet back on that particular frequency with everybody to reassess what's going on. N7DRK.
Okay, very good. I understand what you're saying now. All right, thank you. This is KF7RY. Anybody else with any thoughts or ideas of what you would do, please call.
N7MKF.
Ideas that I have on this situation. One, I would say let's continue on the repeater or the frequency that we're on. And this is where, if there is no plan, then we're going to be doing the best we can and winging it. Hopefully we can find someone that does have a plan, or we may just be referring information to first responders and whatever and things like that. Keep in mind that people are not going to be able to call in to 911 or request assistance or anything. So maybe this is where, if we have no plan, there is nothing going on, we can't find someone to report to that does have a plan, then this is where the net control is going to be taking on a little bit more of a leadership position. And this is where you might establish someone to be an incident commander and start coordinating things. You're going to be making assignments. These are things that we talked about earlier. Where you'd be assigning someone to be your scribe, you would be assigning someone to be an alternate net, or maybe multiple alternate nets for different purposes and services they would be performing. And then maybe you would say, if we have anyone that can do boots on the ground, you know, take a look around and see if you can just visually see any problems. Also, you might say, does anyone know of anybody that may need assistance, that like, you know, has to have medications that are refrigerated, someone that is alone, maybe it's in the middle of the summer and it's going to get very hot and you've got elderly people or you've got extremely young people that are not going to be able to tolerate the heat. So how would you approach that type of situation if you are now the net control and there is no plan that you're operating under? What would you do? Please call.
KI7CPW.
Yes, John, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm just going to take a stab at it here. But if you're in a situation like that, you're the net control, you do not have an official plan that you're working with, but you know that you've got people out there that might have an issue, this is where it becomes very important for you to find some kind of contact with the first responders so that you can let them know, pass the information. Now, you've got to be careful about how you pass information like that as well. But you need to be able to pass that kind of information to the first responders so that they can get that medical care out to those people. KI7PTW.
Okay, John, very good. I like that. So, yes, something that you may want to consider is someone of these people that is mobile that would be able to get to where the first responders are. Maybe you could get to a fire station. Maybe you could get to a police or sheriff's office or something like that that you could get to and establish a communications link with them. So if you have information coming in of people that need assistance but are not able to request it, because they have no communications, well, this is where you could have an incident commander set up operating and doing this, and then it would be relayed to you. You would relay the information to your liaison there at the fire department or the police department or the sheriff's or whatever it may be. All right. I can tell from the lack of response, probably a lot of us have never thought about this and what we would do. So this is where we learn a little bit. All right, so
you give me your additional thoughts. Now that we've kind of taken it to this point, what additional thoughts or ideas or things that maybe you would do in this scenario? Please call.
Kilo Charlie 7, Quebec, Papa India, Jim.
Jim, go ahead.
You know, this is the point where people might be coming out of the woodwork, seeing an antenna and saying, are you a ham radio operator? Could you contact my mom and tell her I'm okay? Or something to that effect. Could you contact my brother? He could bring me something I need. Family organizations are not going to change, but they're going to need communication. KC7QPI, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Yes, indeed. People may know that you're a ham radio operator. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that know that I'm a ham radio operator, and probably there are many people that know that you are a ham radio operator. And so, yes, they may be coming to you. And so what would be a good agency to establish contact with for just such information? One, to just give a wellness report. Where would we probably go to do something like that? Please call.
M7MJF.
M7MJF. Mike, go ahead.
I, too, am going to take a stab at this one and suggest this might be a good opportunity to have your FEMA training where you can establish a hierarchy of command and all that. So M7MJF, back to net control.
Okay, Mike, well, thank you for the plug for the FEMA training there. So, yes, one, taking the ICS courses, the ICS 100, 200, and if you want to get a little more enthusiastic about it, there's a 700, 800. And then we have our FEMA course coming up in May. I've already given a plug for that one, so you're going to find out a lot of information to it that would answer a lot of the questions that we have here this evening. So, yes, maybe contacting some group like the Red Cross. You know, if you could have someone to get in touch with them and say, all right, here are the list of people that we're getting information on that need assistance or either a wellness report. This is such and such, and they want to report to their family, and you give information or whatever, they're okay, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, you're going to be put on the spot in a situation like this. Now, if we don't have a plan, we are working at a very distinct disadvantage. So this is why having a plan is going to be extremely important in an emergency. So what are some of the things a plan would outline for us? Please give me your thoughts on this. Yes, John, thank you for writing in again.
Well, one of the things that plan is going to do is we've been talking about who do we need to contact. That plan is going to have that already in place. So you don't have to think about it. That plan's going to have all of the contact information for the Red Cross, for your local police, and for fire stations, medical care. Your plan's already going to have all that information in it. You don't have to flail around trying to find it. KI7PPW.
Yes, indeed. So the plan is going to give you the framework in which you operate in, and everybody is going to have an assigned role. They're going to know what their task is. Hopefully, it would be practiced, and you would have had drills on this so you know how to do it, you have the experience to do it, you've done some of the, you know, the public service events and things like that. Also, it's going to take a lot of pressure off of you of trying to invent the wheel right here at the last moment by having an incident commander, by having all these ways to contact, and having people that know that they are supposed to go to the police station, they're supposed to go to the Red Cross, and whatever. So if you don't have a plan,
then I would encourage you to affiliate yourself with someone that does. And I know the town of Queen Creek, they have a plan. So if you're living out in that area, then it would be wise on your part to become active in that organization and help out with that. If you're not there, then one, I would say, first of all, get your family plan together. If you don't have a family communications plan, then you're going to be in the same boat. No one's going to know how to communicate with anyone, and it's just going to be hit and miss, and people are going to be panicking. So if you've got the way to communicate with your own family, then that's going to give you a peace of mind that you maybe wouldn't have had otherwise. And with the mesh-tastic devices that we now have, it's going to open up a whole lot more ability to communicate between families, especially those that don't have ham radio licenses. Also, it's going to give you the ability to participate and do a specific task rather than trying to do a dozen of them all at the same time. And that's going to be much more coordinated in the ability to help individuals. All right. So we took up most of our time this evening bouncing back and forth between repeaters. There's probably a lot more information that we could go over. But what I would like to do the next just minute or two here is throw this open to questions. So if you've got questions on anything in the last 4 weeks that we've discussed, questions or comments, we'd like to hear that now. Please call.
107MJF.
Mike, go ahead.
Okay, so the thought just came to mind as you were talking about your last discussion. When the power goes out and the internet goes out, that is not the time to scramble to find your repeater frequencies and how to program your radio. So you want to take this opportunity now to prepare and know how to program your radio, know the frequencies that you're going to program in your radio, have your cheat sheets available as a hard copy, because when the internet goes out, you're not going to rely on your Google Docs and everything else that's online to program your radio. This is N7MJF back to net control.
Mike, very well spoken. Very well spoken. So I agree with you 100%, and I think having everybody try to switch over to the usury repeater demonstrated that very clearly. We had a lot of people that just could not get over there, and in an emergency, it's not going to be easier to get that radio program. You're not going to be more relaxed in that situation when lives could be on the line. So anybody else with any thoughts or questions, comments, please call.
N7DRK.
David, go ahead. N7DRK, go ahead.
I hope this comment isn't above the scope of this conversation that we're having about when the lights go out, but something that I don't think was ever addressed over the course of the last couple of weeks was safety and security. I would not venture out of my house if it wasn't safe to do so. One of the things that I'm going to be looking for from the beginning is just, you know, I'm going to have a situational awareness that's going to be heightened, and I'm going to be looking through the lens or the prism of potential safety issues. So that's going to be my first and foremost concern is, you know, making sure that my family and myself is safe. And then I will continue to have that situational awareness through whatever event that there is. So I think that's going to be something that, you know, to take into consideration. So I recommend everybody just maybe keep that in the back of their mind. Now, I have a question as well that diverges from that comment. And this has to do with, again, speaking to the premise where the lights are out, there's no electricity, there's no communication. Okay, contacting the the government agency that, you know, such as the fire department or the police department, if it's not safe to leave your house, is there a government agency that monitors a particular frequency on the ham band that we can use to communicate with them directly? That's my question. Is this a known quantity? Do we know if for sure that there is somebody out there who monitors maybe like the Skywarn repeater or, you know, I know that's the weather, but we could use that as a way of relaying information as well. So I want to ask you, Dennis, I want to ask Annette, is there a government agency that monitors a particular ham frequency for emergency communication? With that, N7, DRK, back to net control, or back to you, Dennis.
Okay, well, you were correct. I am the net control until I relinquish it. As far as I know, and I can't give 100% certainty on this, there are no frequencies or no one that's going to be assigned to just sit there and listen to ham frequencies. There would just be way too many of them for them to be able to do that. And besides, the area that we can cover with ham radio is going to be so far and wide that you may have someone listening at Apache Junction to somebody in Glendale, and there would be little to nothing they could do with that. So the answer, I think, is going to be probably not, but we did discuss that there is a repeater, linked repeater system that the government is, Maricopa County, is going to be using. So I'm going to throw it back out. Who remembers what that repeater system is, please call.
N7DRK.
Go ahead. N7DRK, go ahead.
Well, I don't recall which one was stated, but I'm going to take a wild stab and say that it could be the Metrolink repeater system run by the ARA. So with that, back to you, N7DRK.
Well, this is your lucky day. You're the winner. That would be correct. It is the Metrolink is the one that they use for that. All right, so you might be able to listen in over there, and if you had an extreme emergency, that may be something that you would be able to get a message in on that one. All right, so appreciate that. Anybody else with any questions or comments? We're going to conclude it here in just a minute.
KI7,
yes, John, go ahead.
Yeah, you had made some comments about emergency action plan or whatever. Are those available anywhere? Are there any examples of those that people can go look at? KI7DPW.
The answer is yes. There are several sources that you can go to. The cities, the county, the federal government, you can go onto their website, and many of them will have emergency communication plans. Formats that you can help or templates that you can utilize to put together your own plan. If you would like to see one of the city's plans, those can be made available as well, and many of the sites or websites, whatever, if you look long and hard enough, you can find them on there. If you want to put together your own family plan, I've offered this one numerous times to people. But I put together my own family plan, and I'm willing to share that with anybody that would like a copy of it. And so you may plagiarize it to your heart's content. And just, you know, you can just change it so it's your information and your frequencies that you're going to be utilizing. So, you know, send me an email at kf7ryx@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send it to you. The church that I attend, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you go onto the website there, and there are numerous resources. I think it's providentliving.org or com, probably org. Provident Living, I believe, is the one that you can go to, and you'll find a lot of resources on putting together your own plans and things like that. So, yes, there are resources available. All right, we're going to go one last question here. Anybody that was got a question or comment, please call.
N7DRK.
N7DRK, alternate net. Go ahead, David.
I let that drop off in case anybody wanted to jump in there before me. Is the Red Cross repeater in Phoenix still active? I have that repeater programmed in my radio, and I've tried to reach out to it a couple times recently doing some testing with antennas, but I haven't been able to connect to it, or maybe it's a closed repeater. I'm not really sure of the status of that repeater, but since we mentioned the Red Cross earlier, I know that they've done exercises on that repeater in the past. That might be a repeater to have programmed in your radio just for emergencies. I'm assuming they might have some form of battery or generator backup power for that repeater. Is there any information that you have that on the status of that repeater that you can provide to us at this time for future reference? N7DRK.
Well, specifically for that repeater, my answer would be no. I don't have any information on it. However, the federal government and many local governments produce what is referred to as the field operating guide, the FOG, and it's interoperability plan. And in it, it is many pages of frequencies and bands and repeaters and whatever from all agencies, where they have put together an interoperability plan. And with that, you can go in and look up and find out what frequencies any government agency is going to be on. Some of the things they learned at 9/11, nobody could communicate with anybody else. And so they came up with this interoperability plan that publishes all the frequencies that everybody is going to be using if you need to communicate with them outside of their formalized plans on that. So anyway, that would be it. You can look that up, the interoperability plan, and there's the OxFog, as it's referred to. There's a number of these things that are there, but you can usually go online and request one, and they'll send it to you many times on the federal government. Anyway, all right. We're going to go ahead. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, actually, you gave me some good information there, so I appreciate that. N7DRK.
Comment.
Go ahead with the comment.
Just to speak specifically to the Red Cross, they do have their repeaters. They are online, but they are on top of their headquarters building downtown, and it's not a very tall building. So the Red Cross itself tends to use the Mingus Mountain repeater, the 14728. And they do have a net every Tuesday at noon local time, and they seem to welcome any and all check-ins. So if you want to make sure or curious if you communicate with the Red Cross during an emergency, check them out on Tuesdays at noon. KB0PCH.
All right. Thank you for that information. Appreciate it. Yeah, I just grabbed my copy of the National Interoperability Field Operations Guide from the Department of Homeland Security. I think it's now actually CISA is the one that this is under. This is my little bit older one, and I do have a newer one. But anyway, you can get it through that. All right, we're going to go ahead and call it. We've gone almost 15 minutes past the time. But I think it was well worth it. All right, so we'll go ahead and conclude the net. I will now turn this back over to Net Control, KI7PPW. Are you ready to assume Net Control?
Yes, sir, I am ready to assume Net Control. Please close with the call sign.
KF7RYX.